explosive debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day, another great week, in fact, in this greatest nation on God's green earth. I trust that everybody listening to me had a satisfying and meaningful Memorial Day weekend. Does Memorial Day weekend mark the beginning of the end of the coronavirus nightmare? A lot of Americans would like to believe that that is the case. Certainly the stock market seems to think that is the case. The market is dramatically up. I mean, very dramatically up, over 600 points. Earlier today, it was close to 700 points, over 25,000 on the Dow for the first time since the beginning of March. Now, this is very, very good news. What is it about exactly? We will talk about that with Jerry Boyer. He is answering the new Joe Biden theme, which has also been enunciated in the New York Times, which is that Republicans want you to die for the Dow. How ridiculous that is, because we are going to live or die with the economy. You can't separate the economy from issues of public health. And no, we can't say, oh, we're going to go ahead and make a lot of money and we're going to have the economy growing again while the casualties mount up for coronavirus. And by the same token, if we do get the virus under control, and it is not under control yet, if we do get the virus under control, then that will be inevitably very good for the economy. And yes, it would also be very good for President Trump's reelection prospects. 1-800-955-1776. We're going to be speaking with Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa. And she is in the midst of a ferocious campaign. She doesn't even know who her opponent is going to be yet. They have the primary, the Democratic primary in Iowa on June 2nd. So that's coming right up. But Senator Ernst is one of the most embattled Republicans. What does she believe are going to be the key issues allowing President Trump to carry again a state where Barack Obama carried Iowa twice? Joni Ernst, nonetheless, got herself elected to the Senate. We'll talk with her about her reelection and about her new book, which is searingly, surprisingly personal. And we will also be speaking with Paul Kengor, a professor of history and political science at Grove City College, the head of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. We'll be talking with him. As a historian, what will history say about this moment? And one of the things about this moment, all of a sudden, we have two new personalities who are engaged in a bitter, bitter conflict. And no, it's not Joe Biden and Donald Trump, though that, of course, is the most significant conflict dividing the country right now. This is the bird watcher versus the dog walker. Who's in the right? I think it's pretty clear. And yes, it is an issue that shows some disturbing aspects of underlying racism. It really does. We will get to that issue as well about the dog walker versus the bird watcher in Central Park here on the Michael Medved Show. But first up, there is a new Gallup poll just breaking today. And it's very depressing. And it's not depressing because it shows one direction or another direction in any upcoming election. It's depressing because it shows that my political party, the Republican Party, does not quite grasp reality. And that bothers me. The headline for the Gallup organization says Republicans still skeptical of COVID-19 lethality. And they asked an interesting question. Now, this is one of those things where it's not a trick question. This is a survey that was done on March 17th through 29th, and then April 14th through 20th. The most recent survey, of course, is the one that's really relevant. And Americans' perceptions of coronavirus lethality. Here's the way the question is asked. How would you answer this question? The death rate for the seasonal flu is around 0.1%. In other words, one out of 1,000 people who get the flu or diagnosed with the flu die from it. That means roughly one person dies from the seasonal flu for every 1,000 people who get it. From what you know or have read, or just your best guess, is the death rate from the coronavirus, COVID-19, greater than, less than, or the same as the death rate from the seasonal flu? And let me just mention, just to give you some perspective here, a lot more people get the seasonal flu than have gotten the COVID-19. And the answer is pretty clear cut by a factor of 6. The COVID-19, most optimistically, is 6 times more lethal than the flu. This year, they are saying that the total number of deaths for the entire season going back to October of last year for the flu will be between 22,000 and 62,000. We already have 100,000 dead from COVID-19. This is not a close call. And here's what they say. The novel coronavirus pandemic provides a view into the deep partisan divisions that have persisted despite the unfolding national crisis. 2 recent Gallup Knight Foundation surveys find Americans' understanding about the coronavirus is strongly shaped by partisan affiliation and news consumption habits, especially when basic facts are politicized. Specifically, while Democrats and independents increasingly see COVID-19 as more deadly than the seasonal flu, Republicans' views have not changed. And while Democrats tend to think the death toll from COVID-19 is understated, Republicans believe it is exaggerated. For the record, can I say I think the death toll is basically accurate. It may be somewhat understated in some states because they didn't test people after they died. People who may have died from the virus are not counted among the dead from the virus because they didn't get tested. In other states, it may be, to a very small extent, overstated because someone who dies who showed the symptoms because they didn't test that person and waste a test on that person, it may be very slightly overstated. But the chances are it's a pretty accurate death toll. I mean, we're not a third world country, and we shouldn't believe that we are. We do have the ability to count our dead and to bury our dead. And this is really remarkable. 40% of Republicans only know, I'm not just going to say believe, only 40% of Republicans know that that COVID-19 is more lethal, more deadly than the flu. 87% of Democrats know that. And look, that is a shame, because whatever you feel about the policy about coping with COVID-19, to not know the basics, that this is not a hoax, it is not a distraction, it is a serious national crisis. Unless you begin from that, you can't have an intelligent conversation about it. Can you? 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. We'll be right back. This is Michael Medved for Clear Play. And you... And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about this horrifying new Gallup poll, and after we talk about it, I want to throw it away and not look at it again, because it's extraordinarily depressing. If it is an accurate poll at all, it shows that Republicans stand out among Americans in willingness to believe nonsense. And it is nonsense. In other words, generally among Americans at large, when you ask, do you think the official death toll is right, or it's understated? In other words, if you believe that at least as many as 100,000 Americans have died, that covers 74% of the country. Only 25% of the country believe that it is understated. Okay, so basically believe that it's overstated, pardon me. In other words, the number of people who believe that it's overstated, Republicans are 10 times more likely than Democrats to say the death count is overstated. 5% of Democrats think that they've overstated the death count. 50% of Republicans believe they've overstated the death count. Look, this makes no sense. And it leads to things. The Washington Post did a fairly alarming story where they highlighted it with a photograph of people at a public swimming pool yesterday. And apparently nice weather on the East Coast. And this is a public swimming pool. There must have been 100 people in there, and they're jammed very close to one another in bathing suits enjoying the pool. Okay, that's not a good idea. And the idea of not taking the continued threat seriously is deeply foolish. I understand the New York Times was trying to get attention on Sunday by running the front page of the paper and page after page after page after page. They listed all 100,000 people who have died. But it ought to focus our attention on the fact that we are still losing close to 1,000 a day. Yeah, and I don't mean to death in general. I mean 1,000 a day designated to this disease. Doesn't mean that there may not be inaccuracies. I know that there was some, one of the names that listed in the New York Times apparently was a murder victim. And by the way, in the city of Chicago, they had the bloodiest Memorial Day they've had in years. They had 10 people dead and another 50 wounded. It's horrible. However, this is a pandemic that is claiming more dead people, and by far, than are murdered in the United States in the course of a year, even counting Chicago. Jay in Seattle, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
But Bluetooth, you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, Michael. I wanted to call you last week and correct you on this, and it bugged me all weekend that I didn't, so I'm going to correct you now. Now listen carefully. The numbers are overinflated, and I'll tell you why. The counties get paid, you can look it up, the counties are getting paid, I believe it's $39 per COVID-19 death if it's listed on the death certificate as a COVID-19 death. Now what's happening is, and I've seen multiple...
Who's paying that money? Who's paying that money?
The federal government is. Federal government is paying this money for COVID-19 deaths. Okay? I've seen multiple reports on this from credible doctors that are throwing their hands up in the air and saying, we are being pressured to put this down. If a guy gets shot in the head and he's killed, if he has the COVID-19 virus in him, if he's not showing no signs at all, we put it down as a COVID-19 death, he said, because the counties are getting paid by the federal government for this. This is why the numbers are, and it's in blue counties and blue states where this is happening the most.
Okay.
That's why Republicans are upset right now And they're saying that's why the Republicans.
Okay,
are
except
saying,
okay.
Jay,
let's say that this happens. Okay. Again, I mentioned before that they were making a very big deal in some websites about one murder victim who was listed as a COVID-19 death. And of course, whenever you're talking about tens of thousands of people, there are going to be cases like that. But again, we're now we're now talking about 100,000 Americans, and we're talking about 1.7 million people who have been diagnosed with the disease in the United States. So let's say that you're right. And let's even say for the 10%, and I don't believe that to be true, but just for the sake of argument, let's say that 10% of the 100,187 deaths they've counted so far are actually people who died for some other reason. That still leaves 90,000 dead. It is still a very serious pandemic. And what is the point? I mean, in other words, to try to claim that the entire thing is a fiction, you don't believe that, do you?
I know, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. But I believe that it's higher than 10%. I believe it's more like 25%. I believe it's even higher than that.
Okay, okay. Well, I think that's ridiculous because one of the things you're doing here is you're imputing the integrity of some of the doctors and some of the physicians, some of whom I've spoken to on this show. Well, of course you are. Of course you are. I talk to Dr. Tomlin all the time. In other words, do you think that someone like my Marine Corps officer, naval aviator, Annapolis graduate, physician, distinguished physician, and a man of impeccable Christian integrity, do you feel like that hospital CEO is knowingly faking the death toll from COVID-19 that he gets in his hospital? Yes or no? Do you think that's happening?
No. The doctors.
Okay, so you think he's exceptional?
The doctors that are doing it are most MEs. They're not practicing physicians. They're medical examiners, and they're the ones that fill out the death certificate. It has nothing to do with the doctors.
Okay. Again, Jay, I appreciate your call, and however, can I mention something to you? Let's say you're right? That you're correct, that the death toll is actually 75,000, not 90,000. And do you know it would still be vastly more lethal than the flu? And it still is appalling that you have a majority of Republicans who don't know that that COVID-19 is more deadly than the flu. Hey, I do appreciate your call. On the MedVed show, we're going to have a chance to speak to Jerry Boyer. And Jerry Boyer is a economist who has an answer to the idea that Republicans want Americans to die for the Dow. What he says is, no, Republicans want Americans to live with the Dow. We're coming right back. On the Michael Medved show, recently Joe Biden sent out a tweet. Now, his tweets are not quite as frequent and certainly not as colorful or controversial as President Trump's tweets, but he sent out a tweet on May 7th, and he said, I've said it before and I'll say it again, no one is expendable. No life is worth losing to add one more point to the Dow. And, well, again, if you believe that the way to add points to the Dow is to sacrifice lives, we must have sacrificed a lot because today the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 673 points. And meanwhile, Paul Krugman, echoing Joe Biden, had a column on the in the New York Times, the lead column in their op-ed page. And this was on Friday. And Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize-winning economist, said, how many will die for the Dow? Okay, to answer that kind of logic, that kind of foolish attack that evil Republicans want to shed blood in order to boost the stock market. Nobody better to talk to than Jerry Boyer, who's a financial economist and a regular at business conferences and on radio and television. He is also the publisher of the Affluent Investor Daily. That's reachable at affluentinvestor.com. Jerry, great to speak to you. We've posted your piece, Die for the Dow, What the Data Really Say. And Jerry, what's the answer when people say that Republicans and free market types actually want people to die for the Dow?
Well, the answer is that if we do want that, we've gotten ourselves really confused because lower life expectancies and more death and less health and less war and less political upheaval, the harbingers, all of those riders of the horses of the apocalypse, they don't go very well with high stock market valuations. So if we have set up some kind of little death cult to sacrifice people to the Dow, then we've made a terrible mistake, because societies and time periods where stock markets are highly valued, and this is interesting, I found in the data, especially those markets that focus on large companies. So this isn't just stock markets in general, but this is the evil big corporations. They tend to be highly valued in situations where people live longer, where infant death is less common, and where other terrible things are happening. Now, what's the cause? What's the effect? I don't know. I think it's that a virtuous society produced something that values human life and values private property. A virtuous society based on the Judeo-Christian ethic will produce both things. It'll produce life, and it'll produce more material abundance. But whatever the cause and effect, a high Dow and high death don't go together. It's quite the opposite statistically.
Well, again, if people just have to do one little thought experiment, I think part of what is driving the Dow today to be up nearly 700 points is the idea that there's optimistic news about vaccines.
Yes.
Can you imagine if they announce one day, okay, we got a vaccine, we're going to start distributing it? Dow would be up, what, 2,000 points, something like that, don't you think?
Yes, 2,000 at least. I mean, if we had a credible report that, and it's confirmed that we've got a vaccine, that's huge. That would be a massive, and that would probably be one of the best days in the history of the Dow. Because the Dow is made up of companies, and guess what? Those companies are owned by people, and the employees are people. And the customers are people. The Dow is made up of human beings. It's just us working in our economic life. So, I mean, you go to places where life is really cheap, and stock markets are cheap too. There are places, you know, where they barely have a stock market. They got a whiteboard and a guy with a Sharpie. I mean, that's their stock market. And in places like that, you have life expectancies of like 50 years. But in places where you have high valuation, where life is dear, then stock prices are dear too, because there's a certain way of living and organizing your society, institutions and values that are productive in terms of human life and dignity and productivity. They go together. They're not enemies. And it's foolishness to make these two virtues, productivity and human life, into enemies when they're natural allies.
I'm speaking with Jerry Boyer, who is a distinguished economist and a master of statistics and more. One of the things that I've been thinking about over the weekend, Jerry, is how history will remember this period. And you and I have not spoken about this before, but you do believe that at this point, this will not be seen as merely a hoax or a plot or a distraction. This is a serious national threat, no?
Yes, absolutely. And I am dismayed that too many fellow conservatives and too many have drifted towards the world of Alex Jones and the rest of it that have gotten into a disease denial. This has taken 100,000 lives, and we're not done with the cycle. And I think what happens is it's almost like you have to play down the disease or say it's a hoax or something like that, because otherwise you're seen as supporting these overly broad, draconian, life-threatening shutdowns. right? Because there's a death toll from the shutdown, just like there's a death toll from the virus. So yes, I believe this is a real virus. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I mean, anyone who's really paying attention to the data, we're just passing 100,000 deaths now. That's about five times your typical flu when the flu is all in for the year. This is a serious thing. But we have to deal with it with wisdom, and a universal quarantine of everyone living in North America seems to me to be not the sensible approach to this. So you can believe the disease is a real risk, and you can also believe that there is has been overreach in trying to deal with it.
All right, absolutely fine. Let me ask you this, because I was doing before, a brand new Gallup poll just came out, and it suggests that most Republicans, overwhelming majority, believe that the numbers are overstated in terms of the number of people who have actually died from COVID-19. Do you have a sense of that? Do you think there's a chance that the numbers have been massively overstated? Of course, they could be slightly overstated or slightly understated. But generally, do you have confidence in the death statistics we have so far?
I have confidence within, say, a 90% confidence interval, right? There's always an error term. This is something I deal with stats
sure.
all the time. When you take a sample, you don't know. There's always a measurement error, right? So we don't know quite. There are arguments that it is somewhat overstated because there are some financial incentives to classify someone as COVID who isn't. 20% more Medicare reimbursement. On the other hand, there are reasons to believe that it is understated because for a certain class of people who probably died of COVID, it showed up as a stroke because early on we didn't know that one of the main ways you die from COVID is a stroke. So we didn't see people dying from pneumonia and we didn't think they were COVID. So there are error bars. There's an error term up top and there's an error term down at the bottom. So this is what statistics is all about. It's about trying to get something to say, roughly, where are we? And I believe that roughly the numbers are, you know, say within 15% error bars are largely accurate.
Okay. Where do we go from here? Do you think we are going to start seeing a steady decline in numbers, or are we going to have that dreaded second wave? Do you have some sense of that?
I don't know how big the second wave has to be, but as you open up, there probably will be a blip upward. I'm not an epidemiologist, so I'll speak to the economics. There's nothing fundamentally economically that stops us from getting the economy back going again. This is a medically induced coma. We've done this on ourselves. So maybe it was wise, maybe it wasn't. But it can end. This hasn't destroyed infrastructure. It hasn't destroyed knowledge. It's taken 100,000 people, high-risk people for the most part. So with the right policy mix, I think we can get back to normal fairly quickly.
Jerry Boyer, his piece, Die for the Dow, What the Data Really Say. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back with more and your calls, 1-800-955-1776.
Outlet for outrage.
It's outrageous what's going on out here.
It's the Michael Medved Show.
It is a tremendous, tremendous thing, and I'm telling you, it's going to explode.
The Michael Medved Show. From politics to pop culture.
Pure energy.
And from coast to coast, your cultural crusader.
Pure energy.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, this is not a question of whether you support President Trump or whether you oppose President Trump. It should not be a question about whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. A President Trump, certainly since the middle of March, has taken the pandemic very seriously. He obviously has devoted a tremendous amount of his own personal attention and national resources to trying to deal with what is a great threat to our well-being as a nation. And this is not the worst thing that has ever happened to America, but it's one of the worst things that's happened to America recently. And to deny that and to suggest that the numbers of dead, which do now exceed 100,000, are exaggerated or faked for some reason is ludicrous. And it doesn't really make any sense. I'll tell you what else doesn't make sense. It sounds like in this new Gallup poll, everybody, Republicans, Democrats, everybody knows the facts about the coronavirus. For instance, there's no difference in awareness about how the coronavirus spreads between Democrats, 88%, and Republicans, 87%, and Independents, 87%, likely because that information has remained outside contentious political discourse. Yet consensus on basic facts crumbles when scientific knowledge is politicized. And that's where you have the same number of Republicans insisting that COVID-19 is no more deadly than the flu as back in March, before the pandemic really began exerting this devastating toll. In other words, is it really a conspiracy to suggest that the death rate has gone up dramatically since March and that it is dramatically higher than any seasonal flu? Let's go to David in Seattle. David, you're on the Michael Medved Show. Hello, David.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Hey, so, gosh, Michael, I think I disagree with you on this. I think there is reason to question the numbers, and it's not just me that says that. Jerry, the guest that you had just a moment ago, he started to say that there are arrows in both directions, and he started to touch on the people that die with COVID-19 as opposed to dying because of COVID-19, and he didn't go into it a lot, but he did touch on it. That's a really important distinction because COVID-19 disproportionately affects the older population. Or you have people that are over 60 or over 70 years old and they've got other health issues like
Okay,
cancer
let me
or
ask
like...
you the same question. Let me ask you the same question I asked my previous caller. And Jerry said something that I agree with, which is there could be errors one direction or another. My guess is that the errors in one direction cancel out the errors in the other direction, so the numbers are probably pretty accurate. However, even if you have the worst case scenario that the numbers are 15% overstated. So what? How does that change reality?
Well, I'll tell you how it changes.
If you have 85,000 dead Americans, how does it? Go ahead,
Michael. It changes reality in that we then don't trust the numbers. Government officials, well-meaning government officials, and everyone else. We need to have consistent numbers that we can compare and that we can count on. And like
we do have consistent numbers, for goodness sake.
No, we don't.
By the way, President Trump has never questioned the numbers.
Yeah, but the state of Colorado Supreme Court did question the numbers, and then the state of Colorado just a week ago revised their numbers down, their total number of deaths down, from over 1,000 down to about 750. That's a significant decrease, and the reason it did that.
Okay,
which state,
Colorado did
okay.
that?
Yes, state of Colorado.
No,
they did.
I believe, by the way, I believe that Colorado is over 1,000. I was looking at numbers this morning, but the point about this is okay. Let's say you're right. That's 25% difference that you're saying that actually happened. What difference does it make in terms of the reality of this pandemic if we have, let's say we have 1.7 million cases, let's say we don't really, that we had 1.5 million. Let's say that you don't really have 100,000 dead, you have 85,000 dead, or even 75,000 dead. The point is that arguing about money, the numbers in this sense against people who are trying to do their best to deal with this scientifically, it seems to me is foolish. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your listening. David in Seattle, you're on the Michael Medved Show. That was Dave in Kirkland. There are two Davids, but now we have the second David. Go ahead.
Michael, two things. One, I think a lot of those respondents were not answering the question asked of them. I think a lot of them were kind of frustrated, maybe answering their own question about being, quote-unquote, anti-establishment. And whatever they think that establishment wants to hear, they're going to go to the other side.
You know, it's second interesting. Thing, Gallup said the same thing. Let me. I think what you said is very smart, is they said two possible explanations exist for the enduring misperception. This is about the lethality of COVID-19. First, Republican respondents may know the correct answer, but provide the incorrect answer to demonstrate their support for the Trump administration, or because they just tend to view national conditions more positively when a Republican is president. Okay, so that's similar to what you're saying. It's basically people resent poll takers, so they'll give wild answers. But go ahead.
I guess my frustration with your opening hour of the week is I can't believe you're spending this much time on something I think is irrelevant. I think most people want the economy to open. Say the numbers of deaths are 100% accurate. You keep saying, so what? What's the point? I'll ask you, okay, say the death count is 100% accurate. What's the point? We have to open the economy first. Hopefully do being safe at it, but we have to open it. Me, you, and Greg, we're still receiving paychecks during this COVID. There are tens of millions who haven't been. They care about COVID and health and safety, but that is so far down the line before getting income.
Okay. However, I'll tell you what the difference is. The reason the numbers are important, and this is why, is whether they are growing or shrinking, whether the new cases are spreading. And the death rate is spreading and increasing, because if the death rate starts increasing dramatically because of opening up, we're going to pull back. And by the way, I think anyone who doesn't realize that isn't paying attention. So far, the indications in states like Florida and Georgia has been very positive, because they have cautiously and in a reasonable way, the same is true in Texas, have begun to open up without some kind of outbreak. But if a second outbreak hits and we start seeing thousands of people in hospitals with ICU units suddenly crowded and they can't handle it, we're going to need something else. And God willing, we'll get a vaccine, or we will get some kind of more effective treatment. No, not hydroxychloroquine, but some kind of more effective treatment. And we won't have to go back. But I think that the notion that people want the country to open, it's not so clear. Because, again, all of the polling here shows that people are very reluctant themselves. The problem is, you can open a restaurant. What if nobody comes? It doesn't really do you that much good. When we come back, we're going to have an opportunity to speak to an outstanding United States senator, a strong conservative from the state of Iowa, Joni Ernst. Iowa has been a swing state. It carried for Obama twice. It carried by a good margin for President Trump last time. She is in a very hot race. How is the pandemic going to play among Iowa voters and voters nationally? And what about her story, which she tells in a new book, is so shocking to people that it may inspire them? We will get to that with Joni Ernst. We will also be speaking about history and the pandemic, and of course, the dog walker versus the bird watcher, and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.